Everyone, hope everybody's doing well. I am very glad for your birthday, Ms. Geishia, because Brother Bob always tries to rush me back there, and I'm like putting on this mic as fast as I can, and he's like, we're going to sing one verse. I'm like, no, like three or four, and he's like, no, we're just going to do one real quick, and it's like the shortest hymn in the whole book, you know, I'm just running up here. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Oh, I know. I know I need the time, Brother Bob, but man, rushing me. Anyway, I think everything's smooth now. So Luke chapter 7, if you would, in your Bible, please. Book of Luke chapter number 7, and we'll get going for today. Book of Luke chapter number 7, and we're going to start reading verse number 36. If you would stand, please, for the reading of God's word, so these guys aren't the only ones standing. That would be a good thing. As Brother Kenny would say, young men, take some initiative, right, Josh? Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 36, the Bible says there, it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when he had nothing, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, this night, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity again to be in your house, God. We pray that you would bless the next few moments as we open your word and try to learn something from it, God. I pray that, God, you would give me something, that you would give these folks something tonight, God. I pray that you would speak strongly through your word tonight and help us to know very clearly, Lord, what you want and what you desire for our lives, Lord, God. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I pray you would fill me with your spirit, Lord. Control me. I need your help, God. I can't do this without you. I got to have you, Lord. And also, Lord, I pray that, God, you would just fill me with your spirit and focus me on the scripture, Lord. And help the people tonight, Lord. Help them to pay attention and get what you have for them. God, penetrate hearts. Plow up the hearts, Lord, and help the seed of the word of God to get down deep and to take root and start to produce something in their lives, Lord. We pray that they would see past me and hear the message from you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. This passage was shared with me recently by someone, and the more I looked into it and the more that I studied it, God kept showing me more and more. So I believe this is what the Lord will have me speak on tonight. Somebody asked me when they found out I was preaching, they said, you're going to do one of the why series? I said, no, that's not my thing. Okay, that's pastors. So, but I'm sure we'll pop in a couple of whys here and there, you know. In this story here, in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, we have a story of two people that are presented. One who loves Jesus dearly, while the other doesn't love him like he should. Jesus shows clearly why this is the case in this passage. And suffice to say at this point, in verse number 47, it says, one of them loved much, the other loved little. Amen. For all of us here in this church, the ultimate goal is to love God. Amen. That's it. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't have the nicest suit or the nicest dress or the nicest car down in the parking lot, if you don't know all the Christian vernacular, if you don't have all the terms down, if you don't have the nicest stuff, one thing you better have by coming to this church, you better know that you need to love God. That's it. That's what it's all about. I think the problem is a lot of times, shame to say and sadly to say, that people come to this church for time and they learn the hymns, Brother Walter, and they learn some of the Bible verse and they get that kind of Christian vernacular down and, hey, brother, and hey, sister, and God bless you and all this stuff. But Tut, somewhere along the line, they didn't get the most important thing, and that's to love God.
Amen.
Listen, you might not have all the other stuff down, but that you always need to be working on. That needs to be the priority. God says, listen, God says that we should love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, everything we have. That's the ultimate goal for all of us, by the way, not just the preachers, not just the staff members, not just the leaders, everybody in here. Your ultimate goal is to love God with all that you have. But you ever wonder why some people love Jesus so much and others don't? You ever think about that? Why some seem to love him so much and serve him continually, and others never find a reason to serve him? What's the deal? Well, let me tell you what it's not, first of all. It's not that those particular people have some special gift from God. And they're just the lovey-dovey type, and when God created them, that they just had a bigger capacity to love. And when they became saved, then obviously they would just take all of that natural inclination that they have and just direct it to God. No. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that for one second. I don't think God gives some people more capacity to love than the other. And it's not some special enablement that God gave to them. That when God was passing out the spiritual gifts, he gave them a lot out of the love bucket. You know, I don't think so. What's the difference? Why do some people love God so much and others don't? Why do some serve him so much and some never do? Again, I don't think it's a special gift they have. I don't think God gave them something extra that no one else has. Because there was a time, I'm sure, in that person's life that they didn't love God. So what happened? What changed? Well, in this story, we see people with two different reactions to the Lord. And I would say we see much of the same nowadays. One was on fire for God, loved him all she could, devoted to him, busy serving Jesus in any role that she could. The other was putting on a show, was grumbling against the Lord inside of him and doing absolutely nothing for Christ. That happens nowadays too. But why? What's the difference? Why? Again, we bring up these questions. Why do some people love God so much and others they don't? Why do some people serve him so much, others don't? Why is it that in this story, one person had such a fantastic reaction to the Lord, the other one, it was no big deal? Well, we'll get into this tonight, but I would say in this story, one realizes and appreciates all they've been forgiven and all that Christ has done for them, and the other one doesn't. I would say that's the difference. And I want to preach to you tonight this thought: forgiven much, love much. If you've been forgiven much, you should love much.
Amen.
We'll get into this story tonight. Forgiven much, love much. I'm saying if you realize how much that you've been forgiven in your life, then you ought to take that and respond in love to your Savior.
Yes, sir.
I want you to see in this story, got a lot of material to cover, so let's get into this. Point number one, I want you to see in this story the unstoppable devotion. The unstoppable devotion. Verse number 36, it says, one of the Pharisees desired him, talking about Christ, that he would eat with him. So a certain Pharisee, we're going to find out later in the story, his name is Simon. He invites Jesus to come to his house and to eat. And Jesus and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. Jesus didn't just go to the sinner's house. He went to the elitist too.
Amen.
Verse number 37, it says, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat and meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Then it goes on to say that she anointed his feet and whatnot. I want you to see the unstoppable devotion that this lady had. She had to get to Christ. She had to give Christ her all. She had a drive within her. She had a passion building up inside of her that she had to get there that day. She wasn't even invited to this dinner, this feast that they had. But in verse number 37, it says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. By the way, when it says she's a sinner, it doesn't mean she's a sinner like any other sinner. This lady was a prostitute. The worst of the worst, the outcast of society that no one wanted to be around, that no one wanted to associate with. This lady was the worst of the worst, the bottom of the barrel, the scum of the society of that time. But something happened in her life. A woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She was conscious that Jesus was in town. She said, my Savior's in town. Somebody that's very special to me is here. And I learned about it, and this is my chance. This is my chance to go to him, and this is my opportunity to show Jesus just how much that I love him. That was her chance, and she wasn't going to pass it up. She wasn't going to let that day go by. She wasn't going to let that opportunity pass her by. She wasn't going to let one more chance get by before she went to the Lord and told him and showed him how much she loved him. She wasn't going to let that pass by. And I like in verse number 37, it says, when she learned that Jesus was eating at this guy's house, then she went to the house. That was her whole purpose for going. That was her whole reason for going. Listen, she wasn't going to show up and see who else was there. She wasn't trying to get the outlay of the crowd and what other important people were there. The whole reasoning in her mind, the whole purpose for which she showed up that day is because of Jesus. Hey, when's the last time you showed up to church? Not because the pastor, not because the deacons, not because, well, the important people need to see me there and all that. No, why don't you forget about all that and say, God, even if the preacher's out of town, even if some missionary's in, or even this or that may happen, God, I'm going to be there. You know why? Because I want to see you. Yeah. Where's that? Where's that nowadays? Listen, God forgive us, and God forbid in us that it's all about, well, the pastor needs to see me, or this people, I want to make sure that, you know, I got my perfect attendance checked off, and they can see that I'm a leader in the church and all that. Forget all that. If that's the purpose that you're doing, you need to get a new one. The unstoppable devotion. She says, I'm showing up there for one reason, to show him how much that I love him. The end of verse number 37, it was costly to her. She brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, there's another story. I want to say Mary, that was Martha and Lazarus' sister, where she anoints Jesus' feet. That's actually a different occurrence, different thing. But she shows up and similarly has an alabaster box of ointment. Now, this is a precious perfume that they had back in that day. And you guys have heard before, I'm sure, that it cost about a year's salary. Very expensive stuff. Listen, sometimes to worship the Lord, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some effort. But let me tell you something. If you're, by the way, we devote our efforts to everything else. I believe the Lord should get all of ours. Amen. Every bit of it. Amen. Listen, if there's something precious to you, listen, give it to him. You'll never regret it. It was precious. It was valuable to her. In verse number 38, here's what she did. She stood at his feet behind him. Now, back then, they were basically in some type of a recliner, kind of a lounge chair, in my mind. And they would basically be laying with their feet back. The table would be in the middle, and they're kind of laying like this, eating and talking in a circle. She came behind him, and she anointed his feet, and she began to cry, it says, with tears, did wash his feet, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. This lady came to convey or to express her love, her devotion, her worship, her exaltation of the Lord. That's why she came. And I like, again, that she came up, it says she came up behind him. She didn't roll up in the middle of them and say, hey, guys, check out who's here. Excuse me, Maitre D', can you please tap Jesus Christ on the shoulder, you know, the Messiah over there, and let him know that I am in his presence right now. Because until he recognizes me, until he acknowledges my presence, I won't be offended. Not this lady. She didn't show up to be seen. She showed up to worship the Lord. She didn't come to be recognized. She didn't come to be acknowledged. And she came there expressing her love and her praise and her honor and her adoration of the Lord. This is how much Jesus meant to her. I don't believe, Brother Steve, I don't believe that this lady meant to cry. It's pretty hard to cry when you want to, you know what I'm saying? I think she was there and it just overwhelmed within her. She began to cry and it started to drop on Jesus' feet. Maybe she's embarrassed and she takes no towel. She takes her hair and is drying his feet and takes the ointment and anoints his feet with this expensive ointment, perfume. What an amazing thing this lady did. Hey, folks, when's the last time you gave something special to the Lord? When you worshiped him like that? But you know what happens? Verse number 39 shows up. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him or invited him, saw it, he spake within himself. She got condemned in this man's eyes. She's doing something for the Lord. She doesn't care who else sees or who else knows or what they may think of her. She shows up because Jesus is there and she loves him. And she wants him to know that. But as that takes place, this Pharisee, Simon, it says he spake within himself, or he thought inside of himself, saying, this man, talking about Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. I like Jesus in verse number 40. He says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I got a message for you, Mr. Simon, all right? I got something to say to you. And then, like the hypocrite that he is, in the next phrase, saying, Master, say on. Why are you saying master when you just said that inside of yourself? When you're saying this man. He ain't no just some man. He's the Savior.
Amen.
This man, if he were a prophet. No. He is a prophet.
Yes, sir.
Would have known. He already does know. And he's going to prove it to you because he knows what you're thinking right now, bucko. Unbelievable. But this guy condemns her. As she's doing this out of her love and devotion to the Lord, he condemns her.
Yes, sir.
By the way, he condemns Jesus at it too. And that's the way it's going to be for you as well, folks. You serve the Lord, they're going to condemn you sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
But in doing that, they're condemning your Savior.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't be surprised when they hate you. They hated me before they hated you.
Right.
John chapter 15. Listen, he's saying in this story, he's saying there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you.
Sure.
You take a stand for the Lord and watch what happens.
Right.
As he talked about, the devil's going to get stirred up.
Right.
Some people say, oh, I don't even know if there is a devil. That's probably because you're not doing anything for the Lord.
Right.
You do something for the Lord, you're going to find out real soon. He's real.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You see him work all around.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But not only the devil, as Tut talked about, he uses anybody and everyone that he can.
That's right.
Sometimes even in the church, sadly.
That's right.
There's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you and look down upon you. I call this the snob reaction. She's doing something because she cares for the Lord. She's giving her all to him. He's over there. This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman she is. She's a sinner. How dare he be touched by her? Just disgusting. Jesus says, Simon, I got something to say to you.
Amen.
He says, go ahead, go right ahead, master. Yeah, okay. I don't know if Jesus said that or not, but sounded appropriate. Number two, he gives this man a parable. So number two is the unpayable debt. He gives this man a parable, starting out in verse number 41. He says, Simon, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. In the beginning of verse number 42, it says, and when they had nothing to pay, we'll get into the rest of it in a moment. But the unpayable debt, it says in verse number 41 that there was a certain creditor which has two debtors. In this story, just so you get what's going on, Jesus represents the creditor, okay? And the two debtors represent Simon and this woman.
Amen.
Simon doesn't know that yet, but he will pretty soon. The unpayable debt. He says there were some people that were debtors. In this story, he's saying, Simon, it was you, and it was this woman. But, you know, in another sense, folks, it's all of us. It's all of us. It's all of us. Romans chapter number 3, it says, what then? Are we better than they?
Right.
Talking about the Jews, are they better than the Gentiles? You don't have to flip over there. I'll come back. But listen, are we better than people out in the world?
No.
We sure act like it sometimes. That's true. That's true. We think like we are. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that we are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Do you realize you're in that group? They are all going out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know these verses. But the people that were debtors, it was all of us. And the price that was due in verse number 41, it says, at the end of it, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. Now, I'm not going to get real big into this, but the 50 pence would be about 2 months' wages, something like that. Now, that's pretty far behind to be up in debt to a person. But the other person, 500 pence, that's almost about 2 years worth of debt. And I'm not going to get bogged down on all that because that's not really the important part of it. But one person was more in debt than the other. But look at the beginning of verse number 42. When they had nothing to pay. Listen, both the guy that owed 500 and the person that owed 50, they both couldn't pay it. They both couldn't pay it. They weren't even close. The people that were debtors, the price that was due. It was a large sum, some more than others, but neither were close. We're all sinners, and none of us was close to heaven. Amen. None of us was close to forgiveness. Amen. And maybe you were closer than I, but we still weren't close. That in that song at Calvary, it talks about the mighty gulf that God has spanned, that wide distance that he covered on Calvary so that we could be saved. That's what we're talking about. But you know, I think we got a problem encountering right here. Because I think especially for those of us that maybe we grew up in church kid mentality, or maybe those of you that have been in church for a while, you start thinking, and I start thinking, you know, I'm not that bad of a person. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't go to heaven in my prior condition, but I mean, I was close. I tried to do right, and I didn't understand all the facts, but I was close. I just kind of needed Jesus to nudge me over, give me a boost, get me over the hump. You're way off in your thinking if that's the way you think. And so am I if I think like that. Amen. You couldn't pay this debt. I couldn't pay this debt. The price that was due, none of us were close. We weren't near it. We weren't close to it. Listen, their payment was devoid, as I already read at the beginning of verse number 42. They had nothing to pay. They weren't even close. None of us could pay for it ourselves. The Bible says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yes, sir. Romans chapter 5, but when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. He's saying that, yeah, for a good man, some people would maybe die, and for a noble man, some people would perhaps die. But he didn't die for a good man. He didn't die for a noble man. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for you. Listen, he didn't look at you and say, wow, they got some potential. No, there was no potential without him. He died for us as sinners, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The unpayable debt, the payment that was devoid, we had nothing to pay. We weren't even close. We couldn't pay it. And the punishment that was deserved. Listen, these people could not pay their debt. Both of them. They couldn't pay their debt. You know what they deserve? Punishment. In that day, it would have been jail. Could have been slavery. Perhaps death. And as I said, I think we get a mistaken belief sometimes because we think, well, we weren't that bad and we weren't really, we were sinners, but we weren't like some of them sinners out there. I mean, I was never drunk. I was never a drug addict. I never, you know, shot anybody. I never went to jail. I never did these things. Listen, the punishment that was deserved. Yeah, maybe you didn't do those things, but you would have went to the same hell as that person. You would have went to the exact same hell as that person. You would have been in that fire. You would have uttered those screams. You would have been crying. You would have been in torment and in suffering. And you would have been there forever. Yes, sir. Me too. The unpayable debt. He's teaching Simon something here. He's saying, Simon, you think you're better than this woman. But both of you didn't have a chance without me. The unstoppable devotion. The unpayable debt. Number three, the unbelievable deliverance. Verse number 42 started out by saying, and when they had nothing to pay, he, talking about the creditor, frankly forgave them both. Wow. What an amazing thing happened. The unbelievable deliverance. That word frankly there, it means generously or graciously, freely. He could have locked them up. He could have put them into slavery till they had paid off their debt. He could have thrown them into jail. He could have killed them. He could have gone to their homes and taken every valuable thing that they may have had. But he forgave them. The unbelievable deliverance. He frankly forgave them. And he forgave both of them. Then he asked Simon a question at the end of verse number 42. It says, tell me therefore. He says, all right, I'm going to pose a question to you, Simon. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Right. Simon answers back verse number 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Jesus says, good job, thou hast rightly judged. You're right. The unbelievable deliverance. He's saying they had nothing to pay. Listen, notice again in the Bible, it didn't say they were close to making up all the debt. It didn't say they needed more time. It didn't say they needed, you know, just a grace period here. They had nothing to pay. Just like in your life. He could have given you all the time in the world. He could have done anything. But in and of yourself, in and of your own merits, you never would have made it to heaven. Me either. But Jesus, out of his grace, out of his love, because he died on that cross for us, he frankly forgave us. Amen. Freely, graciously. The unbelievable deliverance. But folks, this is where we're really going to get to the crux of this sermon. Point number four. The uneven demonstration. I want you to notice after he asks Simon this question and say, who do you think will love him most? He says, well, I think the one you forgave most. And he says, yeah, you're right. Verses 43 through 46, the uneven demonstration. Get this. All right, listen here. The uneven demonstration. There's something that's off here. There's something that's not equal here. There's something that's not even here. Verse number 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. That's interesting right there. He turned to the woman and said to Simon. The positioning of this conversation. He turned to the woman, but he was talking to Simon. You notice what's going on here? He didn't turn to Simon and talk to him. He turns to the woman and says, Simon, listen up. In essence, he's saying, I got a lesson for you, boy. That one you're looking down upon, you really need to learn something from. You think you're better than her? You look at her doing all this and think, trash, the scum of society. How dare she come into my house and do this? Jesus says, boy, I'm talking to you, but we're going to look over here for a minute. The positioning of this conversation, he's saying, we need to look over at her for a moment. And I believe Jesus pointed to her and is talking to him. He's saying, you need to learn from her. Check out these verses, though, verses 44 through 46, the woman's performance. Look at what she did. Seest thou this woman, he asked to Simon. I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Look at what she's done, verse number 45. You didn't give me a kiss, Simon, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Continually, over and over. Verse number 46, my head with oil, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He's saying, you think you're better than her? Check out what she did. Check out the service that she's put in. Check out the worship that she just gave. Look at the adoration that she's presented. Simon, you're too worried about being a Pharisee and being a snob and having your nose up in the air right now. He's saying you need to learn something from her. Look at what she's doing. She did all this. She was constant. She was busy. But let's read those same verses thinking about this. Simon's pathetic state. We talked about how the woman's performing all this. She's doing so much. Let's read these same verses. 44. I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. He's saying, Simon, you didn't do nothing. Verse number 45. You didn't give me a kiss, but she did. Verse number 46. My head with oil, thou didst not anoint. He's saying, you gave me nothing. When I walked in your house, you didn't wash my feet. That, by the way, that was a custom for them back then. That would almost be like for us, if somebody comes in your house, you offer to take their coat. Can I take your coat? You're not just going to let them stay the whole time at dinner table with their coat on, you know. Man, I can't really get that fork where I want to. No. It's just a common courtesy. That's what it was back then. Exactly. To wash someone's feet. He said, Simon, you didn't do any of that. Amen. He said, when I came in, thank the Lord we don't have this as a custom, but he said, you didn't give me a kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. Some of your team boys are like, man, all right, you're not trying to kiss Jesus either, you know. Verse number 46, my head with oil, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He's saying, Simon, you didn't do anything. You didn't give me one bit of adoration. You didn't give me one bit of worship. You didn't give me anything. But this woman, in essence, what he's saying, she's running circles around you, boy. The difference between you, the disparity, the gap is huge right now. Because she's doing everything, you're doing jack. You're doing nothing. So we reach this question again. Why? Why is that? What's the difference between these two people? They both had Jesus in their presence. They both knew some of what he desired. But why is it that this woman's so far outdistancing this man? What's the deal? Verse number 47 and point number 5. The understanding of her own deliverance. That's why. The understanding of her own deliverance. Why? What's the difference? Verse number 47, please. This is where it all hits the fan right here in verse number 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, he's still talking to Simon, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, get this. When I say the understanding of her own deliverance, you say, but we just had this parable, and the one guy symbolizing Simon only owed 50, and the other one symbolizing the woman owed 500. There was a big gap, and Jesus did forgive more of her sins than more of his sins. As we talked about, they still would have ended up in the same hell. Listen, this is not the amount that we're talking about. Tut, if somebody that out in the world, you know, had a rough life and drug addict and all this stuff, and then they come into church and God forgives all their sins, they shouldn't love God more than us. They shouldn't. I'm not downing that person. I love that person. Jesus can change anybody. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise God for that. But he's not talking about if somebody comes from the world and they have all these sins forgiven, then they should obviously love God more than you who grew up in church and you didn't do all those things. Because you were just as sinful as they were. You might not have had the opportunities to go down to the clubs, but you entertained those things in your mind. You couldn't partake in all the fornication and adultery. Well, some of you men, you have those nasty thoughts running around in your brain. Hello. You can't kill somebody. You don't have that opportunity, but you can hate on them, which Jesus said is just as bad. Listen, he's not talking about the amount of sins that you've been forgiven. You know what he's talking about? The appreciation of the deliverance from your sin. That's what he's talking about. Listen, again, if somebody came from the world and they have all these sins forgiven, they don't have to love God more than you. You know what the key to it is? You need to appreciate your salvation just as much as they do. That's it. That's the key to this. I saw this verse and I said, man, unbelievable. Look at this. The understanding of her own deliverance. She comprehended how much she'd been forgiven. She realized how much Jesus had done for her. She appreciated her salvation. And she was grateful for it. You know what Jesus is saying in essence to Simon? He's saying this. Jesus is saying to the woman, she realizes how much I forgave her. That's why she loves me so much. But to Simon, he's saying, it's no big deal to you because you don't think you're that bad. That's why you don't love me. Hello? Anybody listening tonight? He's saying, this woman realizes how much I've done for her. That's why she loves me. That's why she does these things. But you, Simon, you don't think you're that bad. You think maybe you needed God as a sidebar in your life, but you didn't really need him. You needed God as your co-pilot. If God's in the plane, he better be flying it. He's saying, Simon, you don't think you're that bad. To whom little is forgiven, the same love. Let me tell you something. Every person that Jesus forgave, he forgave them a lot. There isn't anybody that can say, Jesus, you only forgave me a little bit. He forgives it all when you get saved. But he's saying this woman, in essence, she understands her own deliverance. She appreciates it. She's grateful for it. You know what the difference is between somebody that really loves God, somebody who doesn't? How much they appreciate what Jesus has done for them. I believe it. How much you appreciate what Christ has done for you and how much he's forgiven you. Think about this just for another moment, folks. You know what this lady did? She meditated on her own sinfulness. Verse number 47, it says, her sins, which are many. You need to meditate on your own sinfulness. Again, I don't care if you grew up in church. You're the cute little church kid that has all the nice clothes and all the fancy dresses or all the fancy suits, and you've been wearing a tie since you're 3 years old, the little clip-ons, you know. And you carried your Bible even when you didn't know why you were doing it and all this stuff. Listen. You're just as sinful as that person down the street. And you would have gone to the same hell if not for the grace of God as that person. But often, we don't appreciate it.
You think about the magnitude of your own sinfulness? The magnitude, the enormity of it. You think about the multitude of the sins that Jesus has forgiven you. How about this? You think about the maliciousness of some of your sins. Hey, with some of those sins, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. You did it on purpose. You did it knowing it was wrong before you even started with it. And in some cases, maybe you hurt people. Maybe you cut down somebody behind their back. You knew what you were doing. It was malicious. You were trying to hurt someone. I've done it too. But I think most of the time we think, no, we were pretty good. Yeah, we needed Jesus. Obviously, we wouldn't go to heaven, but I mean, we were pretty close. No, you weren't. You had no chance. You had no hope without him. The maliciousness of our sin. And how about this? The manipulation in some of our sins. Some of us thought we were slick. Some of us thought we were sneaky. By the way, your kids think this too. They think they're slick. They're sneaky. They can get by with stuff. Don't trust them. Oh, my daughter's just a little angel. From where? It's true. It's absolutely true. You say, no, not my child, or I don't have that within me. All of us have it within us. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know how bad you could be if not for the grace of God. It's desperately wicked. You know what desperate? You got to have it. You'll find it any way you can. I know some of you have seen some people, they'll come to church and find sin. They'll go to a conference and find sin. They'll go to a Christian college, Brad, and find sin. Why? Because that's what they went there for. Desperately wicked. Find it anywhere they can get it. And that's within all of us. Meditate on your own sinfulness. Listen, she realized how bad she was. She realized how messed up she was, how many times she had failed God. She said, I'm wicked, I'm vile, I'm godless. She said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Listen, when you meditate on your own sinfulness, it makes meaningful your salvation. You know the problem? Most people aren't excited about their salvation because you haven't thought about how bad you were. Listen, if you think you're a pretty good person and it wasn't really that big a deal when you got saved, then yeah, you're not going to be serving God and really on fire for the Lord. So what? Not a big deal. It makes meaningful your salvation. When you realize how wicked you are, it makes your salvation all the more real to you, all the more valuable and precious and meaningful to you. Listen, when you realize that this lady had all these sins, again, as we talked about, she's the scum of society. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. But it made meaning for her salvation. She was forgiven. That's what's so amazing. That's what's so wonderful. That's what's so astounding, is that he saved us from that. Folks, never get over that. Excuse me, never get over that. Don't think after you've been saved 5, 10, 15 years that, yeah, well, you know, I'm a good person. Only because of him. It makes meaning for your salvation. And also it says, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. Okay? When you meditate on your own sinfulness, it makes meaningful your salvation, and it's your motivation to serve. Amen. That's right. Listen, when you realize how wicked you are and that you have no business being saved, but yet he did it anyway and forgave you, you couldn't pay. Listen, you can come to church all you want to. That's not going to pay your sin debt. You can get baptized every day. That's not going to pay your sin debt. Only the grace of God releasing you from that, forgiving you from that, would ever do the job. And the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins, that's the only thing that would ever do it. That should be your motivation to serve God. When you realize how messed up you are and messed up you were, you realize the great deliverance, the great forgiveness. Listen up to this, folks. The great deliverance that Jesus gave to you, that should be your motivation to serve him. Let me tell you something. I was going to hit on this earlier, but if you're serving just for the pastor, what happens when pastor's away? Exactly. If you're just serving for the important people, what happens, God forbid, if those important people drop out of church? Right. Hello? Yeah. If you're just doing it because your friend got you invited and got you involved in it, what happens when that friend falls out of church? Right. Hello? You better do it for Christ. Amen. What he did for you. That needs to be your motivation. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. That's why. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constrains me. It compels me. It pushes me along in my Christian life. Every time I want to give up, if I want to throw in the towel, I want to give up, I want to roll over and play dead, he's saying, I got to get up and keep going. Why? Because the love of Christ keeps me going. That's why. And sometimes in the service of the Lord, listen, you're going to have to do things that you don't always want to do. How about this verse, Ephesians 4:32? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Those ain't easy. Kind. By the way, church, you should be kind to people.
Amen.
Kind to people. We need that. There ought to be something in church when people come in and feel welcomed.
Amen.
We shouldn't be like Simon. Hello?
Right.
How dare they walk in here like that? Maybe they don't know any better.
Right.
If they do, that's another story. We need to talk to them, pray for them. But sometimes we have the exact same response as him. I wonder if Jesus showed up, what his response to you would be. He might say, hey, boy, I'm not looking at you, but you need to listen up and look over here for a minute. Because they might just teach you something. When you meditate on your own sinfulness, it makes meaningful your salvation, and that's your motivation to serve. Jesus is saying, that's why she loves me so much. And that's why she always demonstrates it. By the way, don't give me this stuff. Oh, I love Jesus, but, you know, I just have a hard time expressing it. I just have a hard time letting it out. The Bible says, you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, if you could get the spiritual x-ray machine, you would see just hearts popping out everywhere because I love Jesus. No. If you love him, that's going to come out in the way you talk. That's going to come out in you being faithful to church. That's going to come out in you leading other people to the Lord and giving them tracts and praying for people and in your Bible and in prayer and in church. That's how you love God.
Amen.
Not some warm, fuzzy feeling. Listen, you love him by keeping his commandments.
Amen.
That should be your motivation to serve. But getting back to that verse, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Whew. When you realize how much he's forgiven you and how much he's done for you, you know what? You don't treat people kindly because they always deserve it, because they don't sometimes. You treat them kindly because he treated you kindly when you didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
He forgave you when you didn't deserve it. He was tenderhearted to you when you didn't deserve it. When you meditate on your own sinfulness, you realize how bad you are, how messed up you are without Christ.
Right.
It makes meaningful your salvation. That's when you appreciate it.
Amen.
That's when you're grateful for it. Listen, that's why we say you have to get somebody lost before you get them saved. They have to realize their own sinfulness before. Listen, if I'm gonna, you know, throw out a life preserver to you, listen, if you don't realize you're gonna die without it, you say, what good is this? I don't need it. Who cares? But if 2 seconds later I'll take it. And it's the same way. Listen, in our lives, you're not going to appreciate your salvation and what Jesus did for you if you don't think he did much. Simple statement, but it's true. And that's why she demonstrates it so much. Listen, if you love God, serve him. Listen. We have chances all over this church to get involved and to get busy for the Lord. Listen, I know you can't do everything. I can't do everything, okay? But you can do something. You can do something. Lord, help us not to be, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before Christ and he says, look over at that person. Look how they picked that person up every Sunday. Look how they prepared their class and they were always out here doing different things to the Lord. I hope we're not like Simon and say, you did nothing.
Right.
You did nothing.
Right.
Whew, I'll be tough to deal with. Last subpoint here. With Simon, though, at the end of verse number 47, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know what happens? When you minimize your own sinfulness, that's also going to minimize your salvation. He's saying to Simon, perhaps, I don't know if Simon's saved or not, when he says this man, if he were a prophet, doesn't sound like he was saved. I don't know if he was or not, though. But in essence, he's saying to Simon, you don't love much because you don't think I saved you from much. You hear that? You don't love much because you don't think I saved you from much. But when you realize what he saved us from, that's what makes valuable and that's what makes meaningful your salvation.
Right.
And that's your motivation to serve, folks. Listen, if we don't have a contest, you should still serve God. If we don't have a campaign going on, you should still serve God. You're not going to get any applause for it. You should still serve God. You might not get a prize, but you should still serve the Lord. Why? Because of all he's done for me.
Amen.
because without him, I would be hopelessly lost. When you realize how wicked you are, your salvation becomes all the more real to you. Listen, folks, I would say in this room tonight, you've been forgiven much.
Yes, sir. Yes, we have.
Therefore, you should love much.
Amen.
You've been forgiven much, you should love much. This story really spoke to me, really gave me a lot. I hope, Lord, help me get it across to you, but take this, please. Realize how much you've been forgiven. Appreciate that. And don't let somebody else outlove you as far as it comes to Christ. Listen, they may have been saved from the wicked life, but you were heading to the same destination as they were, if not for the grace of God. He forgave your debt when you didn't deserve it. But that uneven demonstration, he says, Simon, look at this woman. She's running circles around you. You know why? Because she appreciates what I did for her. You don't think I saved you from much, so you don't love me at all. That's a sad statement. Listen, you've been forgiven much. You should love much. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, how clear it is, how powerful it is, God. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, speak to every single person in this room. And, Lord, I pray that they would get something from this and apply it to our lives, Lord. Not just hear it, but, God, get right and respond to you the way you want us to. Lord, we love you. Pray you bless this quick invitation time. In Jesus' name, as the piano begins to play, let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. If the Lord spoke to your heart about something, why don't you come and do business with him? You've been forgiven much. My question is, do you love much? To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. When you look at your own salvation experience, do you think, not a big deal? Or do you think, what an amazing thing that Jesus did for me that day?